Welcome to another episode of the Cyclone Fanatic Podcast. It stands and fits. We said that we were going to be back.
We lied again.
Every week. And then we weren't back last week.
Lots of stuff was going on last week, though.
Yeah. It just is a very hectic time for me and my schedule right now. I am going many places, doing many things.
Running between Ankeny and Ames, seemingly, all the time.
Yeah. So that made it tough to record last week. But now, after this week, with fall camp coming to an end, that will put us in a position where we can get back on our normal schedule, recording Tuesday evenings and posting on Wednesdays, which is what we are doing right now.
Yep.
And that is what we will be doing throughout the rest of the season. So everybody can look forward to that. All right. So I have done literally absolutely no preparation. Mm-hmm. For this podcast. This is my third podcast of the day. And I went from recording with Rob to writing to having a meeting with Chris to recording with Jay and now to recording with you, basically completely in succession.
Yep. So I think I haven't listened to what you recorded with those guys yet, obviously. I don't think any of those have really been posted yet.
The one with Rob has been posted.
Okay.
The other one will come out on Saturday, and I think that it was pretty good, so everybody should look forward to that.
Gotcha. So then from what I just gathered from your Twitter, I think what I came up with for these opening thoughts aren't hitting on anything that you guys covered.
Okay.
So a couple questions. I guess we'll start with this one. I think we could come up with a list of the three players we're most interested in seeing play in the first game against South Dakota State.
Okay.
So I can give you my first if you want to one more time. So my first would be, I'm really excited to see Kanae Nwangwu back in action.
Yeah, that's a good one.
I think, you know, seeing him back out there, I don't know if he's going to be returning kickoffs or punts.
He'll be returning kicks.
Really? Okay. Yeah. Well, that'll be really exciting. And then also obviously giving David Montgomery a breather every now and then. So it's going to be really fun to see how he's doing.
Yeah, I mean, I think it'll be interesting to see how Iowa State works him into the offense, especially early on in the season. But more than anything else, it'll just be cool to see him back there returning kicks again. And what he does for them in that kicking game is he gives Iowa State a weapon that they definitely did not have last year. Mm-hmm. All due respect to Mike Warren and Landon Akers. Mm-hmm. Because Kanae Nwangwu is a guy who, every time he catches the football, has the opportunity to go to the house.
Yeah. I would describe, like, Landon Akers is fast, but I would describe Kanae Nwangwu, from what we've seen, as electric. Like, there's a different level to him.
Well, and he just sees the lanes well. You can tell that he's really comfortable in that setting as a return man. And I also think it's going to be interesting, too, here in college football over the next several years, where the kick return game might not be as integral of a piece of the game. Mm-hmm. And you're going to see more and more teams just do the fair catch and take it at the 20.
Yep.
And I think that he is going to give Iowa State a dynamic that a lot of teams aren't going to have in a guy that's a dangerous kick returner. Mm. And I think that people are sleeping on him across the country just because of the fact that he didn't play last year. Mm. It didn't take people very long to forget about him.
Definitely.
And I think he'll be one of the best kick returners in the country.
I've seen quite a few previews for Big 12 running backs still list Mike Warren as like the next guy in after David Montgomery. And that's definitely not going to be the case.
That probably won't be the case, but they've got a group of guys out there that definitely bring a lot to the table when you think about Kanae and Johnny Lang and Sheldon Crony, all behind David, who we know what David can do.
Yep.
And what I think is going to be interesting is that David can run for as many yards or more than he did last season and probably do it on fewer carries than he did last year as well.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what those guys will allow him to do. They'll all bring a kind of a change of pace from what he does. And, yeah, I think Kanae specifically, his breakaway speed, it'll be interesting to see how they utilize that.
Definitely. Like, I could see them utilizing him in out of the slot, and also they could do a two running back set with David Montgomery too.
Yeah, and that's something that Jay and I talked a lot about in our podcast, like I said, that'll come out later this week. So
sounds good.
And he's a lot smarter about football than I am, so he can explain how those things work a lot better than what I think probably either you or I could.
Definitely.
All right, my first guy, I will say Tariq Milton.
You pick one of mine.
Okay.
That's good. Go ahead.
Everybody has been, you know, he's been one of the buzz names of the spring, the buzz names of fall camp, and a guy from everything that I've heard is the real deal, and someone that they're envisioning being a big time playmaker for him this year. And
yep.
If he's able to do that and do it with consistency, and I wouldn't be at all surprised to see him be one of the best receivers that Iowa State has this season, and he's only a redshirt freshman.
Definitely. I kind of envision him being a lot like TCU's Kevontae Turpin without the returning.
Yeah.
Like, he's just kind of a fast, shifty guy from all accounts that I've heard.
Yeah, he's a fast, shifty guy. He is he's just tough.
Yeah.
You know, he's a guy that, like, DeShante is going to still get his fair share of run, obviously. Mm. But I think that Tariq Milton is going to bring another even level than what DeShante can.
I would guess that he's going to rip off a couple 50-yard-plus bubble screens for a TD this year.
See, and I think that's what is interesting is that Trevor Ryan had the pure breakaway straight-line speed. Mm. I think Tariq Milton's got more of the shiftiness in him than what Trevor did.
Kind of like a Jarvis West type, if you remember what he was.
Yeah, yeah. Jarvis would have been really good on a good team.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he was pretty good for Iowa State.
Yeah, he was.
Anyway,
but
they had to rely on him so much on those couple teams that he was on.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think Tariq is like 5'7", either, like what Jarvis
was. He's closer to 6 foot, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Jarvis was pretty small.
Jarvis was so small that, like, if you got anyone blocking in front of him, you couldn't see him just because he was behind him.
Didn't Jarvis throw Alan Lazard his first touchdown catch?
I think you're right. Yeah, like
on a reverse against Kansas State.
That's right. I remember that in the right end zone.
Yeah. Yeah,
I think you're right.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's
that's going to be like down the line.
That'll be a trivia question.
It'll be size house of trivia. It's going to be a trivia question.
Yeah, I remember standing right in the end zone seeing that. I'm pretty sure that's right. That might not be correct.
I'm pretty sure you are. I remember that distinctly.
Yeah.
So anyways,
okay, so who's your second one? Did I take your second one?
You took my second one, so I'll move on to my third one. My third one is Greg Eisworth.
Okay.
And I just think it's going to be interesting to see the level of maturity and solidity that he brings to the safety position since he has to fill in, obviously. So it's going to be very telling to see if he can keep everything in front of him, because I know Kamari Kamata-Moya sometimes didn't do that last year.
Yeah.
So if he can just be solid, then it'll be really good for Iowa State.
Right, and I think if he can be really good, then you know that you've got the two cornerbacks there mm-hmm. that you feel obviously really comfortable with because they've played a ton of football for Iowa State already. But, I mean, I know Jay is a big Greg Eisworth guy.
Mm-hmm.
And if he's as good as what Jay thinks that he's going to be, then I think that they're going to be in a good position to where the back piece of that defense isn't going to be as much of a concern as it maybe looks like on paper.
Yeah, like right now it probably looks like a concern, but honestly, would you agree that at the end of the year it could be seen as even better than it was last year?
Yeah, I think that it could.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, I mean, it's understandable to see why it's a concern just because we haven't really seen much of those guys. You know, Lawrence White was good in the bowl game. Braxton mm-hmm. Lewis was good in the bowl game. There's still some pieces to work with in that group of safeties, you know, and Greg Eisworth is obviously the biggest piece of that group of guys.
Mm-hmm.
My second one, I'll say Ryan Vance.
Okay, he was going to be my – if I had to pick another one, he was going to be my
okay.
other one.
Yeah, I mean, I think we've heard for so long how good he is. He was so good on the scout team last year. Everybody was really excited about him coming out of high school.
Mm-hmm.
What's he able to do at the Mike linebacker spot? How's he able to fill in the shoes left by Joel Lanning?
Yep.
And, I mean, I've said this when I was talking to Rob, that he has a much easier job than what a lot of redshirt freshman Mike linebackers, I think, would, because of the fact that Ray Lima is so good.
Yeah.
That he should, in theory, have a lot of space to run pretty freely,
yep.
you know, and I think that will be good for him to finally get out there and get his feet wet. And I don't expect the Mike linebacker play to skip much of a beat from what it was
Same.
A year ago.
And I figure that even if they go into that first game with a bit of a rotation platoon kind of system, I bet he'll get a lot of playing time in the early stages of the schedule, just because, you know, when the Big 12 teams want to air it out later in the year, you'd think they're going to go to a more fast guy,
yeah.
I guess.
I mean, I think he's plenty fast. I mean, guys like him are what have allowed them to become as fast defensively as what they are. Him and Marcel and Willie,
yep.
those three dudes, like what they're able to do is a big piece of why Iowa State's defense was so good last year. I think it's another piece of why I think it can be so good again this year. And obviously that defensive line plays a huge piece in that. And if that defensive line is as good as what we think it will be, then those linebackers could be in for a pretty big year.
Definitely.
All three of them.
Yep.
All right, what do you got? You got one more?
Oh, man, if I had to pick one more, I'd have to go with Braden Narveson, since I think he's going to be the field goal kicker.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Kidding me? The kicker?
I am, because, you know, like every time a big moment in Iowa State history comes down to it, it's always seems to be the kicker, you know? So if he can be as solid as Garrett Owens was for majority last year, then that's going to be it. Really good to have a freshman doing that.
I don't have much analysis on the kicking game.
No. Well, I mean, it basically just means, you know, you need to be able to make kicks. It's that simple.
Well, I'll ask Joe Houston that question when we talk to him in about an hour and 10 minutes.
I am honestly very curious as to who they're going to give the first crack at field goals this year.
Yeah. I think it'll be Braden Narveson probably.
Last we knew, it was a race between him and Chris Francis.
Right.
Though, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think you probably...
If they're neck and neck, you have to give it to the younger guy.
Right, probably. Yeah.
So.
I don't have much analysis on the kickers, I'll be honest.
That's okay. Kick it good. Kick it straight.
Yeah, kick it straight. Kick it through the uprights. Yeah. All right, who's my last one? I want to see Colin Newell at center.
Okay, that's a good one.
That's the guy that is going to allow them to move Julian Good-Jones out to the left tackle spot. He's the dude who's allowing them to be much more versatile along the offensive line. Mm-hmm. Is he as good as what everyone has made him out to be since he emerged in spring practice as a top level option at that center spot? And if he can be a guy who truly is that as good as what it sounds like he is, I mean, he is setting himself up to potentially be a 4-year starter at center. Yeah. And I think that anyone who watched him in high school or followed his recruitment or like saw what he was ranked at the time and stuff like that, I mean, you got to be pretty happy if that's what they get out of a guy who was not necessarily the most heavily recruited dude that these guys have brought in.
And I think, you know, getting that a lot of that experience has led to a lot of good linemen at Iowa State. Like when they do play early, by the end of their time here, if they played here for a full 4 years, then they've developed into really good offensive linemen.
Yeah, as long as they didn't get hurt so many times that they could hardly walk by the time their career was over.
There's been a lot of injuries on the O-line, for sure.
But I think he's much more set up to play as a redshirt freshman than what some of the other redshirt freshmen that have played for Iowa State.
Definitely.
Have been, at least in the time that I have been covering the team.
Mm-hmm.
All right, what do you got next?
All right, next intro question. If you could guarantee a win in one game on the schedule, which game would it be and why?
Kansas.
Just because you don't want to lose to Kansas?
Just because
you could guarantee a win over any team on the schedule.
I thought you were saying that if there was one game on the schedule that I looked at and it's like I guarantee they win that one.
Oh, okay.
That's what I would say.
Oh, yeah, okay. Definitely.
Kansas?
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is like a free win. Automatically, you go in, they're definitely going to win.
Okay. Kansas State.
Okay. So you just think that at the end of the year, there might be some kind of postseason implications on the line, and plus we just haven't beat them forever?
Yeah, and that's a mountain that I think they need to get over the top of.
Yeah.
I mean, I think the only other one that I'd really put in that category would probably be Iowa, which is kind of in the same boat where it's like that's a mountain that I think the staff needs to get over the top of.
And for me, I was going to say my pick is Iowa just because I think that if they beat Iowa, then that's just it's a big launching pad for the rest of the year.
Yeah, that's a good momentum starter.
Definitely. And I think before last year, a lot of people, the automatic answer would have been Oklahoma. But now that they've gotten over that hump, and plus Oklahoma's probably going to be coming out for revenge this year.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that game isn't necessarily as big of an importance to win.
I think it has that same level of if you beat Iowa, I think that's a springboard. And I think if you beat Oklahoma, then that's a mega springboard.
No one's going to knock you for losing to Oklahoma.
Right. Well, if they came out of that first three games 3-0, then you got to have a ton of confidence going into the rest of the season. Because, I mean, you got to play Oklahoma State. You got to go to TCU, all this stuff. But I think if you can beat Oklahoma and you can beat your arch rival on the road, you look at it and it's like, okay, what can't we do right now?
Exactly.
Like, we've been in one of the most hostile environments that we're going to be in and won there, and then we just beat probably the on-paper best team that we're going to play.
Yeah. Another thing that would be important about winning against Iowa is that up to this point, the one feather that Iowa can pull out on the recruiting trail is that Matt Campbell hasn't beat them yet.
Yeah.
But once you get over that hump, then that's like the last like barrier on the recruiting trail that they might be encountering.
I think I would say if it was if you could guarantee a win and like a resounding win, like a blowout, it would definitely be that one.
Yeah. But just a straight W, you're still sticking with K-State.
Yeah.
Okay. That's fine with me. I would like to beat them too.
Like I said, it's like everything last year. There's just a lot in that, you know.
Yeah.
They need to beat that team.
Definitely.
You know, they've had them in the crosshairs too many times and let them loose.
Speaking of K-State, between the last time we recorded and today, freaking Snyder got that 5-year contract extension. That's crazy, dude. He's going to be 84 by the time that's done.
See, I'm not even surprised. Like, oh, Bill Snyder's going to be 150 by the time that he retires.
Yeah.
Wow, shocking. Okay, I mean, we already know the dude's going to live forever.
Yeah, he's a total vampire. But, like, coming out of last year where the thought was, oh, he's definitely going to retire at the end of this year. Like, he was, like, winding down. Was this the last time that we ever watched Bill Snyder on the field? That kind of thing. It's just surprising to me that now it's like, oh, yeah, we're guaranteed another 5 years of Bill Snyder.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah. I think there's I think that any of those options are good. All right. You got another one?
No. That's all I have for the intros. So.
Okay. You have any other things that are on your mind?
Not really. The Bachelorette just ended. We could talk about that.
All right,
we're
taking a break. We'll be right back on Stans and Fits on the Cyclone Fanatic Podcast Network.
Hello, friends. We'll get you back to the Cyclone Fanatic Podcast here in just a minute. This is Chris Williams, and I want to tell you guys about a great experience I recently had. Mine was up at Ames Eye Clinic. Now, the same guys, Dr. Kruger and the crew, are also down in Des Moines, so we've got a lot of options for you here. But I had lunch with Dr. Kruger, and I was telling him about some of the symptoms that I had had. I was having headaches all the time. I felt like I needed like in the back of my neck. It was weird. It was like stiff all the time. I noticed, I was having problems reading up close. It was weird. Went in, had my eyes checked, and sure enough, I had some issues going on that I never even thought of. I never had to wear glasses as a kid. You get a little bit older. They hooked me up with some glasses that I use now when I'm looking at my computer screen all day working here at Cyclone Fanatic. Headaches have not completely gone away, but they've gotten a lot better. If you're like me, you probably haven't had your eyes checked in years. It had been over a decade since I had. Really glad that I went in there. Most insurance, it's going to work because they can code it, that it's health. There's a lot of different things that can happen with that. I'd love for you guys to give them a shot. Ames Eye Clinic. It's up on 10th Street. If you are in Des Moines, it's over on 2600 Grand Avenue. They will hook you up. Awesome guys. They're big Cyclone fans and proud supporters of CycloneFanatic.com, and they've helped me a lot. All right, here back today to our newest installment of the Cyclone Fanatic podcast.
Welcome back to Stans and Fits. Time for Hot and Not. You can go first.
All right. My hot has been extremely hot for the last month. It's Matt Carpenter of the St. Louis Cardinals. The guy is on fire. Since July 14, which is basically exactly a month ago, he's hit 16 homers and raised his batting average from .263 to .280. And like almost every one of his homers comes in like a really crucial spot in the middle of a game too.
Yeah,
and
I mean, Monday night he hits the big 3-run.
Yeah, to put him up against the Nationals. And then, of course, they walked off on Paul DeYoung's homer too. So the Cardinals are on a roll themselves. They've won, what, 6 or 7 games straight?
Yeah, I think it's 6 going into tonight, which obviously they have not played yet. That game hasn't started. But
yep. As of tomorrow morning, when people will be listening to this, they will know.
Yes. Hopefully it will be at number 7. I have watched like 5 minutes of baseball the entire season.
Yeah. It's just when you're running around doing so many Cyclone Fanatic podcasts, you can't really sit down and watch baseball, you know?
See, I can hardly even sit down and just watch TV. Mm-hmm. When I get home, I just want to sit
and do nothing
on my patio and just sit there and stare off into space.
Be a vegetable or do some recharging,
yeah.
That kind of thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think in the NL Central, which is going to be one of the interesting races down the stretch, the Cards are only 4.5 games back now of the Cubs, and the Brewers beat the Cubs today, and they're only 2 games back. So it's going to be a real interesting one to watch.
Yeah, and I know the Cardinals were 2 games back in the wild card when I looked last night. So right there in the hunt, who would have thought when they fired their manager a month and a half ago that they would even be in the conversation?
Yep.
I was waiting for him to just sell everybody.
I know. I was honestly, I thought Carpenter himself was going to be one of the guys that they could sell.
Yeah. Well, even when they sold Tommy Pham or traded him, I was like, all right, so they're giving up.
Yeah, they're giving up on the season.
But, yeah, and all of a sudden they took off.
The nice thing was they've kind of always had the outfield depth, and they've had young guys out there, so they've been able to shoulder that load.
All right, my hot this week, what did I say that it was going to be?
Oh, geez.
Oh, yeah, the Vikings.
Oh, yeah.
The Vikings got off to a 1-0 start in the preseason.
That's right.
Kirk Cousins, the number one offense, looked great.
Yep.
And
he threw a real nice ball to Diggs down there on the sideline.
As of now, I am anticipating being in attendance for Vikings preseason game number 2 against the Jacksonville Jaguars in Allen Lazard.
That's right. And I saw Lazard had one catch in his first game for the Jags.
Yeah. There's only one player on the Jags that I want to have success, and that's Allen.
Not Blake Bortles? You don't want to see him succeed?
Nah. No, I don't really care.
Well, the thing is, if Blake Bortles is succeeding, then likely Allen Lazard is too.
Except for they probably won't play together.
True.
It'll be Tanner Lee throwing the ball to Allen Lazard.
Yeah, and he, you know, there you go, former Husker. You want to see him succeed? Come on.
No, I've made more jokes. I don't think I've ever been meaner to a former Nebraska player than I was to Tanner Lee on his draft day.
Just because he threw so many interceptions?
Threw many interceptions, got sacked a lot of times.
Mm-hmm.
And I was laughing my ass off when we were in Knoxville on Saturday, and I got on Twitter and I saw that on his first play he got sacked, and then on his second play he got sacked. And I was just like, man.
Nothing's changed?
I know Nebraska's offensive line was bad last year, but at some point you almost just wonder, if you get sacked as much as that guy does.
Is it a QB thing too?
Right. Maybe is there a little piece of it that might be you?
Yeah.
You know?
Maybe he has just really bad pocket presence.
I haven't seen either of the plays, but that's No, no love lost between me and Tanner Lee. But as long as he throws the ball to Allen Lazard, I don't care. The only thing that I want to see on Saturday is a Vikings win and Allen Lazard with 10 catches for 200 yards.
Yep. I would definitely agree with you there.
Okay. What's your not this week?
My not this week is...
Not be the Bachelorette.
No, it is not. I won't go into that. Don't worry. My not is Colin Cowherd. So I'm sure that you've seen the quote. On a show the other day, he said, in regards to Iowa quarterback Nate Stanley, Iowa, who has the best quarterback maybe in the country, watch that kid be a top 10 quarterback, Stanley.
Hmm.
So in accompanying this, I have a blind quarterback comparison for stats for you. And I know you can't look at them.
Yeah.
But I'm going to list off some of these. So QBA, 55.8 completion percentage. 6.9 yards per attempt on 360 attempts. 26 TDs, 6 INTs, and a 134 passing efficiency rating.
Uh-huh.
QBB, 66.5 completion percentage, 7.4 yards per attempt on 245 attempts. 15 TDs to 3 INTs, and 146.1 passing efficiency rating.
Are you going to ask me if I know who's who?
I guarantee you know who's who.
Well, I would say B is Kyle Kemp.
Yes.
And A is Nate Stanley.
So then I figured you'd know those two.
Yeah.
So assuming you looking or, listening to those stats, you'd probably take Kyle Kemp based on those, correct?
I mean, yeah, based on pure stats, yeah.
Based on pure stats.
I haven't watched that much of Nate Stanley, to be completely honest.
So I have one more for you.
Okay,
I don't know if you know this or not.
Okay.
QBC, 60.2 completion percentage, so slightly better than Stanley. 7.7 yards per attempt on 387 attempts, 21 touchdowns to 10 interceptions, 137.5 player efficiency rating. Do you have any idea who that would be? And even if you don't, which would you pick between Stanley and that guy?
His completion percentage was what, 60 something?
It was 60.2 completion percentage, and Stanley's was 55.8.
And his yards per pass is higher? Yards per
Yep. Player completion. C's was 7.7 yards per attempt, and Stanley's was 6.9.
But he threw more interceptions.
He threw more interceptions. It was 10 INTs to 6.
Is that – what conference does he play in?
Big 12.
Is that Will Grier?
Nope. You get one more guess, and I'll tell you.
Okay. Is it – was it Kenny Hill?
No.
Okay, who was
it? So let me know. Without knowing who it is, would you take that player before Stanley, or would you take Stanley before that player?
I feel like this is a trick question. I don't know. What does the other guy run?
A little bit. I wouldn't say he's known for his running.
Okay. Yeah, sure, I'll take him. I feel like if I take Stanley, I'm going to get roasted, and if I don't take him, then
no, I don't think he'll be roasted.
All right, no, I'll take the other. I'll take quarterback C. Who is it?
QBC is Jacob Park.
Seriously?
Yeah. So, okay, knowing that, would you still take Jacob Park? And obviously a lot depends on the offense. Like, obviously Nate Stanley's offense is a lot
different yeah.
than the spread offense that Iowa State runs. But, like, in a vacuum, would you take Jacob Park or Nate Stanley to lead your football team?
How much are we talking about intangibles here?
You probably have to include everything, honestly. Or maybe we should rule out the intangibles and just go strictly football.
Okay, strictly football, I'd probably take Jacob Park because Jacob Park was like a – I mean, his just ability to throw the football was very
high. And I think
level.
He'll forever, unfortunately, be known for the Texas game, but his raw talent is off the charts.
Oh, still. The excitement that people had for his ability. I mean, that was – his just pure – like I said, his pure ability to just throw the football – was unlike anything that Iowa State has had in quite a while.
Yeah.
You know? But unfortunately, there's all the other things, you know?
Yeah. And, you know, honestly, it's really weird to me that we haven't heard of Park landing anywhere. I wonder if his off-the-field stuff is keeping him from getting interest.
Probably.
And I mean, I wonder,
he's also probably, like, 24 or 25.
That's the thing. And I wonder how much interest he still has in playing football, too.
He probably – see, and that's the other thing. Like, I can't imagine he's – I don't know. I know he's off Twitter because I tried to find him to see
– what he's up to.
If he had tweeted out that he was going anywhere or anything.
Yep.
But I've never heard anything, and I would be more surprised if he did end up on a team, honestly, than I would if he didn't.
Mm.
That's just my personal opinion.
Yeah.
All right. My not this week is the Iowa State Fair. I'm going to preface this by saying that I've never been to the fair.
Okay.
But I don't go because I don't understand. I don't get what it is that is so exciting about the fair. I know without ever going, that is a place that I would not like. I would not enjoy my experience there.
Okay, why?
There's too many people, for one. I don't like a lot of people.
Okay.
It's always hot. I don't like being out in the hot.
Okay.
And I envision what the atmosphere of the fair is. And I just don't think that it's like an experience that I would really truly enjoy. Maybe
yeah.
I'm wrong, but I, at least not this year is going to like, this year's not going to be the year that I find out if I am wrong.
Yeah.
And every time that I say to someone, oh, I've never been to the Iowa State Fair. They're like, oh, are you serious? How
yeah.
have you never been to the fair? It's like, well, I just don't really have any desire to go to the fair.
Well, and like the fair is the kind of thing where I think that eventually you should give it one shot just
yeah.
to see what you're, you know, haven't been seeing for this whole time. But I'm kind of with you on the same time that like the fair isn't must go event for me.
No.
I'll go every probably 2 or 3 years just because, you know, maybe something's changed by then, but it's definitely not something that I need to go to every year.
Yeah, and I mean the food is what everybody's like, "Oh, you got to go try the food."
Well, and the same like
I don't know, like
for food, the only thing that I ever really buy consistently when I go is the chocolate chip cookies. Like they have a chocolate chip cookie stand and they're delicious.
Uh-huh.
Like I recommend those to anyone who goes, so I went last year, and the only reason we went is because I bought tickets to Paramore for my wife.
Okay, yeah.
So if there's a good grandstand act, then that makes like going to the fair worth it. But if it's just the fair itself and you're not going for any concerts, then in my opinion, it's overblown.
I've heard the grandstand isn't that great of a place to even watch a concert.
No, the seating isn't that great. And I think they've upgraded the grandstand like this year even,
yeah.
but I haven't been there to see it.
Yeah, I mean, no, there's not really anybody that was there this year that piqued my interest very much.
Mm-hmm. I think the only one that I would have been interested in going to was Jim Gaffigan, comedian. But no music acts, for sure.
I mean, I think that if I went to Thomas Rhett or Florida Georgia Line or something like that. Would I have fun? Probably. Mm. But it's not something that I'm – that's only like if someone had tickets and they were going to take me. Like I'm not going to pay money to go see either one of those people probably.
Yeah. And the nice thing is that most of the time, the events that do go on in the grandstand, they're pretty fairly priced for a concert for a lot of those acts, I think. But
there are no $13 to go watch the Vikings play the Jaguars in the preseason.
And that's the thing. Is that how much your tickets were?
Yeah.
Oh, man, that's a great deal.
Yeah.
I think I looked like 2 months ago when I was looking for the first time, and you could get in the lower bowl for like $30.
Yeah, I think they were about 50 on where I was looking.
Okay.
But I don't care.
Like, no.
I just want to get in the building. I've never been to the stadium before, so I just want to get in the building.
Oh, it's really cool. You'll love it.
And I'm going to go see one of my buddies that I haven't seen in a really long time. So it'll be more about just like hanging out with him than it will be about anything else.
Very good.
All right. Do you have any would you rathers?
I do. I have a couple for you. Are you ready?
Yes, I am ready.
Okay. So this first one's a little wonky. It's a simple question. I know you love basketball. You love playing basketball. You went to school for basketball for a while. Would you rather always have to play basketball with a football or never play basketball again?
Oh.
So, you can't change anything about the rules.
You can't change anything about dribbling or anything.
No.
Like
if you're going to dribble, you have to dribble it the same way you would a basketball. So, that's going to be really, really frustrating because,
you know that
bounces.
Actually might be a kind of cool game where
think
if
so?
It's not even like you dribble, like you have to pass the ball.
Yeah.
And you have to pass.
See, I hope they got people going on outside. But anyways.
Pass to each other.
Great
and
radio.
Can't really move. And it's like a lot of passing and cutting and stuff like that.
I would think the game would be definitely different. There would be a lot more passing. And I think you would see shots from way further, obviously.
I almost don't know, though, because the way the ball would bounce would be way different, you know?
Yeah.
Because you almost wouldn't be – like, if the strategy you would have shooting at the rim would be different. It would be harder to bank it off of the backboard unless you have –
You'd have to go for the swish basically every time.
Right.
It would take the backboard.
I think that it would put – guys like me would be much more sought after for the ability to get to play above the rim.
Definitely.
Where you could just drop the ball in the – in the hoop, you know? And you know what? I will say if I have to choose between never playing basketball again and playing basketball with a football forever, I'll play basketball with a football.
All right.
Because I think that we might have actually just invented a pretty cool game.
There you go. We'll have to try that out sometime.
Yeah, that would actually, like I said, that actually sounds really cool. That sounds like something you would do in PE class.
Yeah, honestly.
I should tell my buddy that is starting his first year of teaching PE that he should do a lesson of that.
So is this going to be called foot basketball or is it going to be basket football or
we got to think of a better name.
All right. Well, that might be for another day.
Yeah. But I think we have a $1 billion idea on our hands here.
There you go. All right. One more would you rather. So for whatever reason, you cannot play Kyle Kemp at quarterback this year. Okay. However, you have to play him somewhere else on the field and he has to start. Where are you starting him?
Oh, my God. Do you think Kyle Kemp can kick?
I mean, that's the thing. Like, we have no idea.
What about Holder? Does that count?
Ooh, that would be the money. So I'm going to say no. You cannot pick Holder because that's too obvious.
I was say because that's almost like a loophole.
Yeah.
It is on the depth chart, though, so don't.
That's true.
They do declare.
You got me there. I didn't think about that.
They do declare a starter at the Holder spot.
Yep.
Man, I don't even know, man.
I'll give you
like
a little
fullback, maybe. I don't know.
I'll give you a little my train of thought here.
Tall for fullback.
So we don't know how good he is at kicking, but most of the time, you can punt. Okay, so I wonder if punter might be the best option.
Yeah, I mean, I think that you can about teach anyone to rugby punt.
Yeah,
you know,
and that's the thing. Like you can, as long as you just get it downfield and let it roll a little bit.
Yeah,
you'll be okay. But the thing is, punting is so much more important in the college game than it is at, like, the high school and below level.
Right.
Like, you can see how Michael Dixon was for Texas last year. He completely changed that Texas game for Iowa State, so.
Yeah, okay. I don't know, man.
Fullback, I mean,
I wouldn't really want to put him at fullback, you know, because I don't.
Technically fullback in Iowa State's offense is where Sean Buckner.
Yeah, Sean Sean Buckner.
Sean Buckner. I always forgot to pronounce his last name. But that's where he starts, and that's a really important position too.
Right, yeah, they really need that guy. So I don't think I'd want to put him there. Punter, I guess, that's the only other place that I can even think. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't want to put him – I don't want him covering receivers. I don't want him running routes.
Don't want him at safety, probably.
Don't really want him blocking.
Don't want him on the line.
No.
We love you, Kyle. We love you that you're a quarterback, but at the same time, stick to being quarterback.
Yeah, I'd say that he just needs to stay as a quarterback. That sounds like the best scenario.
Fair enough. Well, that's all I have for you today. So.
All right. Let's bounce this idea off of our listeners. So last year during football season, we obviously did the bad beer, and I think that went over pretty well.
It did.
But I think that it's ran its course.
Yep.
To an extent. What if this year, each week, we procured a beer that is brewed in the state from which the team that Iowa State will play that week is from? So, for instance, when they play South Dakota State, we get a beer from South Dakota, Iowa, beer from Iowa, mm-hmm. Oklahoma, and then we decide whether or not the beer or the football team is better. And that's how the podcast will end, is us deciding whether or not the beer or the football team will be better.
And again, we kind of discussed this before we came on, but the logistics of getting a beer might be a little tough, but I do think that this would be a fun idea if we could pull it off.
And that's why I think we need to, because I guarantee the people on the forums and stuff like that, they're going to say, oh, I know a great beer from South Dakota.
Yeah.
Like, I would never know what kind of beer to get from South Dakota.
Yeah.
You know?
And I think we do have to go for the as good of a beer as we can get, too.
Yeah.
Like, I want to be trying good beer this year, honestly. As much as fun as it was, you know, giving our takes on bad beer, it's nice to sample good beer, too.
We should also say that we're not going to drink any beer that is older than a kid who can go to middle school.
Yeah, we had some bad experiences.
Yeah, so. We made some decisions.
Yeah.
But they, I'm not going to necessarily say that they paid off, but they didn't necessarily backfire either.
Yeah. And another idea I kind of just thought of on the whim is, if we can't get a beer from the state that the team is from, maybe we can just get one like related to their mascot or related to them in some other way.
Yeah. You know?
It can be from Iowa, but maybe it's a beer named after something to do about a cowboy for Oklahoma State, that kind of thing.
Yeah, I think that we have an idea here that we can work with that could turn into something good.
Yep.
But we just have to, it's just going to take a little working, you know.
Getting the system
down. Massaging the idea
to
make it into something that we can truly execute.
Mm-hmm.
All right, man. We will be back again next Wednesday. Thanks for stopping at the Jacobson Building in Ames to record.
No problem.
We'll talk to you guys again soon. Peace.